Welcome to Church Media HQ. My name is Luke Clayton, and I want to thank you for joining us for today's episode. Now, before we get started, please take a moment to subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. We're available on just about every podcast platform, as well as on YouTube and on Facebook. And if you are watching on YouTube or Facebook, remember to like this video because that helps it get seen by more church leaders like you.
First of all, it's a great ministry for the individual in the choir, you know, not, you know, just for the congregation only, but we are social beings and choirs are social activities. And while there's people who want to get connected with children's ministry or they want to get connected with small groups or they want to get connected with, you know, marriage groups or whatever, there are people who are musically inclined and not everybody can serve on the worship team. So what do all the rest of those people do, right? And so that's where I think the choir can serve a huge purpose. And there's still lots of great choir music out there that's being produced. I'm a member of a couple of the choral clubs, you know, and there's more than enough stuff that you could ever use and of varying degrees of difficulty. So whether you've got a choir of six or you've got a choir of 60, the material is out there.
Jeremy, I want to bring you in. Okay, so we were talking about virtual choirs and whatever. You guys have had to make an adjustment to your choir. We were talking about this on the phone the other day because you guys are now doing two services, whereas before, pretty regularly every week, whereas before you were just doing one. And so talk us through the approach you guys have taken to making it work, even though you've got essentially the idea, because that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reason people are going to give. Well, it's hard to do multiple services and things like that when you have a choir because, you know, you got to get people to commit to come to both services or whatever. But Jeremy, talk us through how you guys have approached that.
Yeah, so it's really interesting and I'm loving the conversation. Danny. Mr. Danny? Okay, all right.
Yep, Danny.
So Danny, okay. So where we're at, and I agree with what you said, Danny, that that a choir is as much for the congregation to hear as it is for the members to participate in, right? It's an act and a form of worshiping God. And, you know, most of the time when people are singing congregational, you know, there's a couple people that are out there in the auditorium that are really singing out. But a lot of people are kind of just getting pulled along by the flow of it. They're not really actively engaged. And having a choir really lets more people in on actively worshiping God through music. And I love that. So what we did was, we had, for the longest time, we had one Sunday morning service, and then coming through the pandemic, it allowed us to split. We wanted to split anyways, just for space, because to your point, you know, we're growing, so praise the Lord for that. So we had about 40 to 45 people in our choir in total, and so we just had to cut that number in half. So now our Sunday morning choir is roughly 15 to 20 and then 15 to 20, and so it's not a big choir. We're all together for choir practice on Sunday night, and people love that. But what's really interesting, and maybe you could speak to this, but I'm in our choir, but I'm not a super musical person. I just really enjoy singing. But to me, you know, if in our choir of 20, for example, in the service that I sing in, if I was harshly rating it, there's probably like six or seven of those that are good singers. And then the rest of them, can follow along and can find the part, maybe if they're next to someone who whatever, but when it's all together, it sounds really good. So I think the thing about it is people might be thinking, well, I don't have 20 great singers in my church, you know, if your church is smaller, but you don't really have to. You kind of, I call them anchor choir members, you know, that can kind of help the person on the right and the person on the left of them or whatever. And so, yeah, to your point, I think churches should go for it and should try to start a choir. Now, if you're a church and you just have 40 people in your whole church because you're just starting or whatever, yeah, you might not have enough people. But I think as soon as you can offer, you know, something of a little bit of quality, that it allows people to start serving. So,
yeah, if you can even start with like duets and trios and quartets, you begin to build the foundation for a choir down the road. And to your point about sort of the anchors, you think of sectional leaders. And I mean, this choir that I'm in now, I've come back to after being away for so many years, in this particular church where I'm serving again. There are some people who were there before, but there's lots of brand new people as well, too. So the first thing that I had to try to do was to find out, who were the strong singers in each of the sections. And we're fortunate to have all four sections covered. Some choirs don't. And you're right. And so then you position that good, strong singer where other people can hear them and feel comfortable following them. And it does, in the end, then create a much better product. And a person who's been dealing with choirs for a while will know they have to do that. And somebody who's in a choir will tend to gravitate and want to be near the person who knows what they're doing, just to make them sound a little bit better as well.
Yeah. So I have a question then. So we're talking about those anchor choir members, and I've seen this approach to take kind of those and really make them, I guess, part of the worship team. And they're usually, placed a little bit in front, maybe on the stage, and the choir loft is behind them. What are your thoughts on that approach?
Well, it is true that it tends to happen, in smaller churches particularly, that the strong singers in the choir are usually also members of the worship team, because they are the strong, and they're willing to be sort of out front and on display more than when you're in a choir. There's a little bit more safety in numbers. And so people are a little bit more comfortable. When you're in the worship team, there might be 4, 6, 8, 10, whatever. And you're a little bit more out there. And so you've got to have the confidence not only to be out there, but also in your singing ability or playing ability, whatever you're doing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that like I said, I've seen that approach before, and I've heard both sides. Some people say, hey, that's a great idea. Some say, no, not a great idea. Keep the voices, keep them back there around the other choir members so that they can maybe, feel a little bit, because usually those that are good sing out with confidence, and it gives confidence to those around them. But yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this. I mean, Jeremy and I kind of go back and forth. We joke. He's always kind of going to take the more traditional approach to things, whereas I'm a little bit more of the challenger, and I like to, just try new things and whatever. And so, but one of the things that we do agree on is that I do love good choir music. But I will say this, and this is kind of me just talking my preference, but I will say there are songs that I've heard sung by choirs, and I'm like, that's just not a good choir song. And so what are your recommendations more or less on what type, if you will, style of song makes a good song for, multiple voices and to be with a choir?
Well, it's interesting that you should say that, and I'll take this position. And over the years, we sing this song that the worship team leads, and that is not a congregational piece. What are we doing singing? And it's true. It does happen on both sides, but I think a good choir piece has to speak to you, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to relate to the message in it, because choir pieces are written differently, than worship songs are. And there have been some good transitions of worship songs into choir pieces, and we've done some of them at our church. But you're right. Again, it takes experience and it takes discernment to determine, which song is going to work. And I mean, again, please remember, I'm on both sides of this. I've done this both. As a matter of fact, I've taken no fewer than 3 churches from very traditional styles of worship to contemporary styles of worship. So I've been there, done that. I've got all the scars to prove it. But you're right. Choir pieces are things that should uplift, draw us to God, have a message that we relate to, on a daily basis or whatever. I think that the other thing about them is they have to be written well for harmony, whether it is, 2-part, 3-part, 4-part, 5-6-part, right? And it's got to be accessible for your choir. And again, that's where the choir director is key. They need to know what their choir can handle, in difficulty, in range, right? And stuff like that. And I mean, a song that might be appropriate in Nashville, for example, might not resonate here in rural New Brunswick, right? Or even in urban New Brunswick for that matter. So it's very much a training thing and an experience thing.
Okay, no, that's some great thoughts there. Yeah, because I will say this, Jeremy, your choir, I have had the privilege of being at your church and listening to your choir, and your choir is good, but I think half of what makes them so good is the song selection is appropriate for the choir. And you have an orchestra as well. And so that, of course, just enhances it even more. And it really is, you know, I've heard some really powerful songs come from a choir. But then, like I said, I've been in other situations at other churches and choirs where I'm like, that just didn't seem to fit the choir there. So, Jeremy, I don't know if you have some thoughts here.
Yeah, well, and I know Danny will agree with this. It really comes down to the skill and the quality of the choir director. My brother's our choir director, and he took it probably 10 years ago from a choir that pretty much just did congregationals a little bit better than the congregation could do them, and took it into now where we do full Christmas musicals and Easter musicals and you know, just piano before. And now I think there's 7, 8, 9 different instruments that are there. So, but I guess if you could talk to maybe someone who, cause you don't have to be a superstar in order to have a choir. I think that the hardest challenge for a lot of people, after you have a couple people together that can sing is just picking good choir music. Did you already drop a couple of sources or where do you like to look for, choir music that's written for an average style choir to be able to do?
Yeah, there's been a number of ones along the way, like Lifeway is great. Word Curl Club is great. Those are two regular places that I, you know, am very confident in finding music. Canada doesn't have anything like Lifeway or Word Choral Club. I mean, we use the Canadian divisions of them or whatever. There is some more sacred music places here in Canada. But I think traditionally we've looked to places like, you know, Lifeway and Word Choral Club and things like that. And again, I love the variety of stuff they send. And I mean, they've got everything from children's choir to adult choirs to seniors choirs. And everything. And just about any church could find stuff. But another thing I used, I don't use it now, but I used for a long time, was this thing called Glory Songs. And it was a subscription thing that came out quarterly and would probably have 6 or 7 sort of seasonal specific pieces in it of varying degrees of difficulty, et cetera. And it was awesome. And I used it so many years and loved it. Don't use it right now. Not even sure if they're even still out there, but it was a great resource.
That's pretty awesome. When you said, I like what you said about children's choir, because sometimes getting a good choir is just playing the long game that you would need to start them in the 5th, 6th, 7th grade. Yep. And if you've been after it for a while, then, you know, you can turn around in 10 years and have kind of a pretty deep bench of good singers in the church, and it keeps people connected. Cause like you said, it's a great part of serving, you know, is working in the choir. So
it's nice too, to see sometimes, I know like in cantatas that we've done with the senior choir, there's a piece for kids included in it. And it's awesome bringing the kids into the adult choir for an event, you know, or something like that. And that's another thing that helps the children see, oh, maybe one day I'll be in the adult choir. And it is, it's a lifelong process. Like all the rest of the things, as you build people up for positions in the church, the choir and worship team are no different.
Absolutely.
So just kind of a off the top of my head question for you, Danny. What is in, let's, well, I guess COVID might make hard for me to put this time window on it. So I'll say this, I'll say in the past 5 years, what has been your, maybe one or two of your favorite, you know, songs that you've maybe done with your choir or heard by another choir?
Well... Oh, boys, that's hard. I tell you,
I'm on the spot.
I did kind of put you on the spot.
There's a couple that we've done recently, and I'm trying to think even of the composer. It was a worship song that was put up as a choir piece, and it was really great. One of them is Because He Lives, Amen. That's a great one that we've done. Yes, I Will. I don't know if you know that one, but that's one we've done recently that is so powerful. You put me on the spot. Yeah. I should have maybe made a list ahead of time. I'm trying to think of, there's one that's been so popular. Everybody's doing it. The guy that wrote it, a young fella, compared to me, obviously, and I cannot think of his name to save my life. My choir is going to kill me for this because they really love it as well too. And it's one we did in this last year. I tell you, there's a song though that we did years ago that keeps coming back to me, and I would do it in a minute again with the choir. It's the song is called "Our God Is in Control," and part of the words go, "Our God is in control, though pressures burden the soul. His sovereign plan is a symphony that will ring through eternity." And I've thought of that so many times in this last year of this pandemic. Another song that has come to mind that really, it just gives me this holy rush is "He Will Hold You Fast," or "He Will Hold Me Fast." Selah does that. I don't know if you know that, but oh, that song just resonates with me so much in this time, because there's, you know, so much difficulty and so much hopelessness in so many people's lives. But the thought of that and their rendition of it is amazing. If you haven't heard them do it, check that one out. And it's got some nice harmony to it, beautiful harmony to it as well. Yeah.
Well, I right, put Luke. You on the spot there. But no, I'm flipping it back to you, Jeremy. You weren't going to get out of this. What's some of the favorite ones you've done recently?
Thank you. So since Danny went first, I was able to write down a couple of ones that I really like. I'll see if Danny knows them. So one of the ones I really like, we've done it the last two or three Easters now. It is an Easter song. It's called "Arise, My Love."
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a really good
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
With the choir answering, you know, with the death yeah. and sting and hell. Yeah. And then we do "High and Lifted Up." I like that one. It's yeah. you can do it yeah. anytime around the year. A new one that we started doing, I don't know where it came from, but it's called "The Goodness of God." It talks about all my life you've been faithful, and it's really, really good. And then this one's older, but we do one called "Lift Up the Cross." And
yes, I think I know that. Yes.
Yes. And then of course, this one's from Brooklyn Tabernacle, but we do, "But Thou, O Lord," and I'm always really nervous when we do it that I'm going to mess it up. But it's okay. We do okay with it. So, yeah. Those are probably my top five ones, of songs we've done, but man, I think I've been in choir now 7 years. There's so many good ones. I know I'm forgetting, but I love singing in the choir. It's great yeah. stuff. So,
yeah. I love leading. I do. And I just, you know, this choir particularly, I just get really excited with them. And I speak right out to them in choir, you know, when they're singing and say, "Come on," you know, and like this. And I know they think I'm a little weird when I do that, but there's so much passion for me associated with leading choir and music ministry. And, you know, I think at this, you know, I've known for a long time, I guess, but I mean, I understand, you know, God has placed two passions in my life, and one is education and one is music ministry. And I've been so fortunate to be able to be involved in both of them my entire life. And they have been, you know, my oxygen along the way. And, you know, I'm getting a little bit closer to finishing than starting. And it's not that easy realizing, you know, that, you know, this may be my last choir, you know, or whatever and stuff like that. And so anyway, I guess, you know, a Christian says never retire, right? So maybe the Lord has something else in store musically for me down the road.
Well, that's really and just awesome to see. Your experience, it's clear that you're passionate about this and that, again, you have the experience and the knowledge there. So I think this will be the final question, and we may have already touched on it before, but I do want to ask you, if there's someone out there, maybe they don't have a choir, and I'm going to throw this out there. I have seen a choir applied in all sorts of worship settings, worship styles, I've seen it in very, obviously, usually it's in a more traditional traditional conservative worship styles tend to embrace it more. But one of the most modern and contemporary worship styles out there is like an elevation worship, and they have a choir from time to time.
Yeah.
So we see it from all spectrums. But if you, if somebody was saying, hey, yeah, I think I am, I think I'm going to look into starting a choir thing, Danny, and then Jeremy, you can chime in as well. What would be, though, your recommendation just to get started?
Speak to someone else who's already doing it. That's number one. You know, my philosophy, and I, you know, share it along the way, and somebody shared it with me at one point or whatever, the philosophy of most choir directors and whatnot is beg, borrow, and steal, although a little light on the steal part. You know, and so you find out from somebody who's been doing it. Maybe that will be my ministry down the road, mentoring those who are coming into new choirs or whatever. It isn't an easy thing to do. Even like, how do you find your choir members? How do you deal with the choir member that can't sing a note but wants to? You know, all those things. But yeah, and there are so many resources out there today. There really isn't an excuse for not doing some prep. Go see some choirs. Look at how they're handling it. Look at the type of music they're doing. Realize that you don't have to start with a 10-piece orchestra. You can start with the piano alone if you want, or today just simply use soundtracks, you know, and stuff like that. But start small, take it a little bit at a time, you know, and go from there, and pray, you know, because some people still don't necessarily see the need of a choir. And, you know, the music director and the pastor have got to work really closely together if they want to make that happen. The pastor's got to believe in the ministry of the choir as well, or it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I think you gave some really practical, you know, steps there for getting started. And so actually I'm going to ask this: if somebody did want to get in contact with you and they said, hey, I do have questions, is that something you might have a way, you know, a website, an email, something like that?
I do. I have a blog actually called Sincerely Yours. So they could find me on that. I have a Facebook account, and it's just, take note, Danny is spelled D-A-N-N-I-E, not with a Y. So find Danny Brown on Facebook. We have a Facebook page for our church choir, the Sunny Bray Baptist Church Choir. You could find me there. I'd be happy to share with anybody from my years of experience. And the sad thing was, I was just doing a check. I've been at this almost 50 years. That is really scary. So I probably know, you know, one or two things that I could help out with along the way.
Well, yeah, I would encourage you, if you are looking to, you know, start a choir or really anything music, reach out to Danny. I can just tell here, and just our conversation over these past few minutes or so, you definitely, again, first of all, you're passionate about it, but you also know a thing or two, and you've been doing it a while. And those, for me, are kind of the three of the magical keys, if you will, to finding someone who can really mentor you and help you. Danny, it has been great having you as a guest today. And again, encourage anyone to connect with Danny. And thanks for your time. It was great having you with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking me. It's been a joy. And Jeremy, it's great to meet you. And guys, let's stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good to meet you. Yep. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Bye. Take care.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode, and don't forget to subscribe. You can check the show notes and video description to learn more about products and services from Church Media HQ, as well as details about our guests and content contributors. Speaking of the content, if you find it helpful, please take a moment to leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with other church leaders like you. Also, be sure to check out our newest show, Connection Culture. This is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Church Media HQ is a production of the Must Increase Network. The show is edited and produced by Bo Snyder. The creator and executive producer is myself, Luke Clayton. And until next time, I want to remind you to try something new. Why? You know why. Because it's so much better to fail at trying the incredible than it is to succeed at simply doing the average. We'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.